So, now what?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gow. Well, Wall Street got what it wanted. The Fed cut its key interest rate a half a point. And what happened? Stocks finished lower. There was a brief 200-point rally for the Dow, but it was clear investors had already priced in a half-point cut. And then there was the news that two big bond insurers, MBIA and AMBAC, will likely be downgraded by the rating agencies. The Dow ended up at 12,442, down 37 points. The NASDAQ fell 9, the S&P 500 lost 6. In Asia today, mixed results. The Nikkei gained almost 2%, but Hong Kong shares fell a fraction. European shares are almost a percent lower so far. The Fed has now cut its interest rate a point and a quarter within about a week. That should get the economy's juices flowing. But will it help people on the verge of losing their homes? Doubtful. More now from Jeff Tyler.
Right now, around the country, more than 800,000 properties are in some stage of foreclosure. The Fed's move won't save them.
The rate cut will probably help market psychology more than it will help anything else. It will probably have a very marginal effect on real foreclosure activity.
That's Rick Sharga with Realty Track, which follows national foreclosure activity. 2007 set records, and Sharga expects that foreclosures will remain steady for the first part of this year.
We're probably going to be looking at between 500,000 and 750,000 properties being repossessed by the banks over the course of 2008.
If you're in jeopardy of losing your home, reach out to your lender. Sharga says most banks don't want to take your property. They don't want to be in the real estate business. So they'll often negotiate a refinance package, figuring that less is better than none. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
There's a new survey out this morning on climate change. It's from George Mason University. About half of those polled said global warming is a serious problem. Democrats expressed more concern than Republicans. But there's talk, and then there's walk. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
The survey asked about 14 different behaviors, everything from recycling to driving a fuel-efficient car. Turns out Republicans and Democrats are about equal when it comes to really going green. George Mason's Ed Maybach says, yes, Democrats donate more to environmental causes and vote more for those kind of candidates.
But the actions that tended to be more market-based, like using less energy at home, buying energy-efficient appliances and insulation, there tended to be almost no difference whatsoever between Democrats and Republicans.
Maybach says consuming and flying less were among the least popular eco-behaviors.
So I think while we're talking a good green game, overall, we're not really getting there just yet.
Maybach says affordability may not be the problem. He found few differences in green behavior between wealthy and poorer households. So what is the problem? That, he says, is the subject of future research. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. By Siemens. From grade school to grad school, Siemens supports America's next generation of innovators with Student Science Days, plus scholarships and awards for students, schools, and teachers. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
This week on the Marketplace programs, we're talking to economic advisors for the presidential candidates. This morning, it's Republican Mike Huckabee's turn. His advisor is French Hill. French, I know Governor Huckabee is generally supportive of the president's short-term stimulus plan. What does he have in mind long-term?
Really, the best tax cuts or fiscal stimulus that one could design would be permanent, you know, and not temporary. And in that regard, the governor has called for the Bush tax cuts made permanent, which would reduce taxation on savings and investment and capital gains and would incent people to save, invest, and start new businesses. And in addition to taxes, other topics that Governor Huckabee would think would be important would be reducing regulatory burden on businesses and business formations.
What about the tax system itself? This fair tax proposal has obviously gotten a lot of attention. Can you distill for me what the primary advantage of the fair tax system versus the system we have now?
The fair tax system taxes consumption. So instead of taxing our incomes or our investment incomes or our capital gains from selling an investment, a farm or a business or a stock or a bond, it taxes our consumption. And therefore, there is no penalty on capital formation or savings and investment. That is a fundamental number one. Number two is it has a much lower administrative burden. Sure, there are many challenges to its enactment, and therefore, I think that's why the governor said we ought to have a pathway to a fair tax, which would include making those Bush tax cuts permanent and lower the tax rates on corporations, which are among the highest in the world.
Has he had any experiences on the campaign trail that you know of that have perhaps changed his ideas on the economy at all?
One story comes to mind was a factory worker, I believe in Michigan, that had taken a second job to help put his daughter through graduate school. And he told the governor, he said, you know, when I got my paycheck from that second job, almost all that extra income I earned went to pay the extra tax that I had to pay because I was pushed up into a higher tax bracket. This is not what a tax system should do. Mike has heard these sorts of stories, and they've really motivated him to stand up for everyone in the economy, not just those that that are running and owning businesses.
French Hill. He's a senior advisor for Mike Huckabee's campaign. Thanks for joining us.
It was a pleasure.
Tomorrow we'll hear from the Mitt Romney campaign. Romney is against a national sales tax. You can listen to all of our interviews with the major candidates' economic advisors on our website, marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.